Well, good day to you. Hope you're having a blessed day. My name is James Cooper from the website entitled In God We Trust. The location is ingwt.org. This is a religious website. It's for everybody, no quarters of your religion. It's a website that can be, it covers a lot of things. But we try not to criticize anybody in particular. And this is our first, yes, right, this is our first podcast. So be patient with us. And be critical. If you don't like something we say, let us know. One way or the other. We do not ask for any money at the website. God's providing the website for us. He has the way of getting us the funds for it. And this podcast is the same way. We try not to brainwash anybody. We're just trying to say it like it is. So don't let a strange spirit say, hey, it's time to get out of here and leave this place. That's a strange spirit. What we'd like for you to do is pray to your God to protect you and guide you and help remove any fears about what you're about to hear at this website or at the website itself. You might find that when you pray, you'll be stepping out of the closet that you've been hiding in to keep you from hearing some things that you was trained as a child and say, oh, don't listen to this, don't go there, and things like that. There's a lot of churches out there and other religions says, hey, this church is wrong, that religion's wrong, and everybody's pointing fingers at each other, and that didn't come from God. Now, let's get that straight right off the top. That does not come from God. If we all pray to the same God, we shall be trying to do everything the same way or close to it, but not criticize. Somebody's praying to the same God that you're praying to. And you'd be surprised at how many people are doing it, staying in the pulpit, standing on the corners, knocking on doors. Everybody wants to do everything their way. Is that God's way? I don't think so. The way I've been reading it. Now, our first podcast, which this is called The Wall. As a matter of fact, the next two following this is all related in some ways. So you might want to listen to them when they come out. And this one's called The Wall. And what this wall is, sometimes I found that I had a wall around me to keep me inside like a prisoner. Sometimes we put up a wall ourselves in front of us and around us to keep us from hearing and seeing and looking for the truth because we're afraid of the truth or we've been trained not to listen to somebody else. We also don't believe that the wall is there. I found it was hard to believe myself that I had a wall around me. Now, the wall was put there to keep me and maybe some of y'all too from opening our eyes and mind to the truth that was hidden by others to keep us in bondage. Tearing down that wall was not easy. You would need help, and the only way you're going to get that help is from God. Okay? I can't tear it down for you. I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink it. You know, y'all heard that old saying. Being released from this bondage of this wall could cause fears that will keep you and me and other people from tearing down that wall. Fear will keep us from climbing to the top of that wall and looking over to the other side and see and hear something that might be more true than what you've been hearing. When you get over the fears, you will start to tear down that wall. God will show you the way. God will be there to help you get over your fears. I had to climb a very high mountain. Yeah, my wall was that high, it was a mountain. To reach the top of that wall, it was a very high mountain. Then I could hear and see differently. And, you know, it's like saying, the grass on the other side of the hill, you know. And you heard that term, but this is different. This is the wall that keeps us in bondage. To tear down that wall took many years and prayers and reading, studying, listening, and this took many, many years. I took courses. I took courses at churches, were giving out courses. I took classes online. I took live classes, evangelism classes. I did a lot of reading and studying. I took a lot of tests. Yeah, I had to take tests too. Like I said, I did quite a few things. And God directed me in there, but this was a sign of one thing. I was tearing down that wall. You know, just sitting there and listening to somebody preach to us. Yeah, that's helpful. That was very helpful to me. It was part of tearing down that wall and find out that, hey, I was behind a wall. I was being held down. And sometimes you hear some of them says, hey, those people over there are wrong. Y'all better stay right here because they're wrong over there. Well, I don't know what to say about that one. You're going to have to judge that for yourself if that's correct. What is this truth I'm speaking about by tearing down that wall? What we hear and read may not be correct because something is blocking our comprehension to the truth when it comes to the Bible. Okay? When it comes to the Bible. And this is in every religion. Someone is preaching and teaching, and they come out with their books and say, this is here, blah, blah, blah. But you'll find that sometimes they change it a little bit to suit them who's teaching, keep you there with them, and not spread it out. I found that in many religions. Is a person under the influence of God, or even when they know the truth and keep it to themselves and not tell others. Now, what I mean by that, there might be something they be preaching, that's in the Bible, but they ain't going to tell you about it. Okay? They'll just skip that one. Many people truly believe that the ministers must have a college degree and a diploma from the Bible school before they can become preach. And so if you ain't got a college degree, went to a Bible school, synagogue, or wherever, then you can't stand up and preach to them. You can't stand up there and teach them. There was one church I went to. They had Sunday school, okay? They had Sunday school. So I checked that out. But you could not be a Sunday school teacher if you didn't have a college degree and was teaching in a public school. If you wasn't already teaching in a school system, they weren't going to let you teach anything in their church. Okay? Whether that's right or wrong, that's up to them. But I always felt as though that Jesus had 12 disciples. And he started off with 12. Okay? Did they have college degree? No. Some of them were fishermen. Okay? And how they made their living. Yeah. Were they college graduates? No. Were they leaders of a group at that time? No. Jesus taught them. Who taught them? Jesus. And some of them call, in English, that's what they call him, Jesus. And some of them say his name is Yeshua. Okay? That's what I usually call him. His name is Yeshua. And but in everything, like every country and language, they say his name differently. I'll get into that another time about that. But now, if you want to teach and preach in many places, you better have some college degrees and all this. Well, these two of them, which ended up 11 after Yeshua was on the cross, they got this whole thing going about the New Testament. They was teaching the Old Testament too. Don't let nobody drive you. If you're reading the Bible, Yeshua taught them the Old Bible. He spent some time with them and teaching them about the Old Testament themselves. All right. It has been said to me that a poor, uneducated man cannot lead educated people. Well, I had that said to me a few times. I ain't man here said he ain't going to follow Jesus because Jesus was a poor man. I actually said that to me. Okay? Actually said that to me. And I was still behind the wall when he said it. You know, I didn't buy that story. I didn't believe him, but I had no more religious talk with him when he said something like that. So he told me where he was from. reading the Old Testament from the first word to the last word, and then read the New Testament from the first word to the last word. That's the teaching. You find that when you do things like that and read it like a book, you find that something might be missing. I had a minister say that to me. He was speaking, and he said that you'll find something's missing. And some of them says that's the Holy Spirit. I feel like something's missing. What's missing is understanding, because they got the wall around you. And that's why you find something's there, but you don't understand what it is that is not there. Now, I read the Bible like a book. I'm going to say I read every word of the Old Testament. That's a long lot of words there. But the first five, I guarantee you I read. Okay? The New Testament, as far as I recall, I remember in my past, first word to last word. Okay? May not be all at the same time. Don't get me wrong. That's hard to do. It wasn't all at the same time, but it did get done. And there was a time when I said, something seems to be missing. People have turned against me for what I know and what I speak about, and start asking questions. I had said to me that I didn't know what I was talking about, accused me of not knowing the truth or in a cult, okay? When I can show them word for word things in the Bible. And I even had a lady say to me about the Sabbath, Jesus wasn't allowed to worship on Sunday because they always had to worship on Saturday. I said, huh? That was a good one to me. That was like a smack in the face. Jesus was not allowed to worship on Sunday. He was forced to worship on Saturday. That's the way they did it. Or shall I say, not Saturday, the seventh day of the week. Saturday is the name of a strange mythical god or whatever. But I'm not going to get into that at the moment. People go to church, but there's no worship there. Some of them go to a show. I had a few people say, man, I ain't like the music there. I ain't bothered to go back there. I ain't like that music. What music got to do with it? Somebody got to hype you up with music. They go learn something and go praise God. Go praise Jesus. Praise the Holy Spirit. Well, many people feel that the mega churches with the large congregations means it's a better church. Well, that's up to them. It's just like the website In God We Trust. It's not no big, pretty house website. It's just plain. Nothing fancy about it at all. Okay? Nothing plain and fancy about it all. They're trying to make it sound like, hey, we're some rich church. Got a whole lot of stuff at the website. No, it's basic. I'm one of those people that believe that why buy a $500 suit to wear to church? Why not wear a $200 suit? Yeah, right. Buy a $200 suit and get the other $300 to help out the Pope. Okay? How'd that sound? That's the basics that I believe in. All right? I'm not a rich man. I've been poor most of my life. But I never considered myself poor. And a new church that costs $8 million with 2,000 or 3,000 members every Sunday morning is appealing to some people's lifestyle. Say, yeah, that's the kind of church I like to go to. Would God prefer for them to have a much smaller building, which would cost a lot less money, and have several services in the same day, so the members can spend less money on the mortgage to the building, leaving more for them to give to help the needy and poor? Okay? That's how I look at that. Ain't nothing wrong with those mega churches, 3,000 members, everybody wanted to be together at one time. Ain't nothing wrong with that. They paid for that building. Okay? They paid for it. All right, there's some things that, don't get angry at me. I'm just telling you like it is. I was a member of the church, and they never said how much the mortgage was going to be. They built the church, and after the church was built, and they started worshiping there, the new one. You know, they left the old one, sold the building off. Talking about they need $40,000 a month to pay that mortgage. Need I say more? Or should I say less? I thought, but didn't know about that mortgage until after they was in there and started preaching there and worshiping there, having communion there, and then that can't seeped out. Okay? What would God rather have you do? Have a smaller building, more than one service the same day, and have to give this half that $40,000 a month, give, maybe it just be $20,000, give the other $20,000 to help out the poor. People living in the street. Okay? Many people feel they are doing their religious duties by singing in choirs and ushering us into security and other activities. Are they part of the entertainment, or are they there doing God's work? Church musicians and singers strive to satisfy their egos, forgetting where the talent came from. Now, I've been there. All right? And sometimes you find it's always the same musicians, but hey, in the audience, there's just other people to play. But that musician there said, I got this. Don't try to take my spot from me. Now, I'm the drummer. I'm the guitar player. I'm the keyboard player. That's what I do every Sunday. You can do it now and then when I'm not here on vacation, but not every Sunday. But this is me. Okay? And so there's no room for somebody else. So that's being selfish? Well, be your own judge in that one. I imagine a lot of people by now hearing this here would say, look, I'm out of here. This guy's criticizing. I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you what's going on. God has a place for every church. Will your church slip off into the lake of fire? Will the preachers and deacons and name be in the book of life? And that one you have to answer for yourself, where you go to worship. It may not be worship, may not be a church, a synagogue, a mosque, or wherever. Where the leaders are the ones that you think is the best isn't what you think they are. Probably the next podcast is going to be talking on that subject. When Jesus said, I don't know you. You see? When they say, hey, we save many people in your name. And Jesus said to them, I don't know you. So make sure you listen to that podcast when that one comes out. Our preachers there where you worship, save souls and feed the flock, or are they there for the money? Are they hired employees and got to feed their family with the money that your organization is giving them? Which means there are some people called a hireling, and they may have to do some things to keep their job because they got a family to feed themselves. What sins do you know your preacher is committing? I've heard some terrible stories about one preacher there helping some woman across the street hit a baby across the street from the church. And she hit a baby by the preacher. His congregation let him keep on preaching. All right. I don't know what to say about that one. Yeah, it's something that you got to deal with on your own, their own. I was just visiting, and I just left, shall I say. And I left. So, you know, that's how that went. I left. I could go on and on about this, and there's no need, because if you have gotten this to this point, you're already working on tearing down the wall around you. Congratulations. Now, Jesus said this in Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Now, everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many would say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. All right? Now, because I might be preaching on that pulpit, so I might be preaching out there in the street corners, knocking on doors, passing out, leaving. Now everybody is going to be saved. Even though I heard preachers say, oh, believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. Let me pray over you and touch you. But when you come down to that verse there, what is Jesus? I even had to say, I even know about that. It's a possibility that, yes, Jesus said that, but this was before the cross. After the cross, everybody's saved who believe. No matter what. Well, I hadn't seen some deacons had girlfriends on the side doing all kinds of things. Okay? Preachers too. Doing all kinds of things. And this turns people away from your religion. Now, in John 8, and I've been reading from the King James Bible, it says John 8, verse 11 and 32. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. All right? Now, some of this truth, yeah, you can learn some of this truth in Bible schools and Sunday schools, sitting in there and listening to the preacher preach. But if the preacher was not taught correctly, a lot of things missing out, he's going to pass that down to you. And it's up to you to find out. You do some reading. You do some asking questions. Yeah, I've been around places where you're sitting in the class and asked a question, and they don't like your question. And sometimes they'll try to say that, hey, you're wrong about how you feel about that question. And you might feel as though that they're wrong by their answer to that question. When you can say, hey, well, look here, and so chapter and verse says this, and now you're saying something different. Okay? So you got to look at it that way also. You got to learn some things for yourself. And the best way for me, and what worked for me, was prayer on my knees. Down on my knees and praying. I had my back to the wall, and I know that I made some mistakes in my life, and I'm not talking about in jail either. I was never been in jail. Never accused of any crimes. But I was down on my knees. And my prime was living my own life, my own way, and I was raised in a Christian church. But when it came to living, I did it my way. And one of the reasons why I was doing it my way, because I saw a lot of things in the religious places that was being teaching and preaching and guiding people, and I disagreed with some of what they were doing. But they didn't turn me away from God. Didn't turn me away from Jesus. But something was missing. And what was missing was being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaching me. The Holy Spirit guiding me. The Holy Spirit is something I rely on every day. Okay? And how did I get that Holy Spirit to be that way for me? I had to get down on my knees and get to praying and asking God to run my life, because when I was running it, things just went haywire. Things just fell apart. Okay? Nothing would go right. I had God to start controlling my life, not me. Ask God to teach me. That's right. Ask God, teach me. Jesus, teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me. Show me what you want me to do. Show me your ways. Show me what's right for you. Show me how to be humble. Show me how to be a loving person. I had to pray. And guess what? the wall that was around me started tumbling down. Oh, yeah. That wall started coming down. It didn't happen overnight. It happened slowly but surely. It's like eating your food so fast, boy, it was so good, you ate it real fast, and it was done and gone. And when you eat it nice and slow, boy, you can really enjoy it better. It stays with you longer. Stay that good taste of that food stays in your mouth. We're praying and asking God to take care of you. It may take a little longer. It's not going to happen. Pray tonight and then tomorrow morning. Hey, that'll all change for you. You got to keep on praying and asking God to teach you, give you the wisdom and understanding. Remember Solomon? You know King Solomon? What did he ask for? You remember what he asked for? Well, you got to ask for things. And God will give you something. He can give you the wisdom to understand the truth and start listening, sit there in the church and listen to the teacher preaching and say, whoa, wait a minute, that ain't right. That ain't quite right. And one of the times that happened to me, when I was in the Sunday school class, and the gentleman said, the deacon, he was the deacon, one of the top deacons at that church. He said, hey, Sunday is the Sabbath. So you got to come here and blah, 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 okay? And I said to myself, Sunday not the Sabbath. Wait a minute. But did I speak up? No, I didn't say a word. I just sat there. But now, I may not interrupt the man's class, but after class, I would say something to him. Okay, I'm not going to interrupt this class. I'm preaching, but they're preaching and saying something's not right. I'll wait the service over, then I'm going to say, hey, pastor. Or I'll send the pastor an email. I'm going to do something because it's part of my job. Okay? I'm going to have to do something, but I'm not going to cause a scene in public, but I'm going to make it one-on-one, and if the pastor's right and he sees that he made an error, now he next time he goes talking to the people, he's going to have to change what he said. And if he don't, he might come into one of the questions that the man said when Jesus said, I don't know you. Now just remember what I just said. So you may be somebody talking to friends and family members and your children. Make sure that you're not passing on errors. And that's your responsibility. That's my responsibility for myself. Make sure I'm not passing on errors. But there's a wall. And if you're still listening to me talking, that means you're working on tearing down your wall. It means that you want to tear down your wall that's around you to keep you in bondage. I'm free. I felt free after I knew this wall was down, and I felt free. I was walking like a free man. Okay? I mean, the world's a bad place. A lot of sinning and killing and so forth and so on. A lot of hate and anger. But I was free. I am free now. Because I tore down that wall. God gave me the hammer. He gave me the ladder. And gave me a good heavy hammer to tear down that wall. Because my wall was high and I needed a ladder to help get up top of that wall to start tearing it down. So you got to think about your wall and what you believe and don't believe, or what you don't want to believe. Because the older you get, you got to remember one thing. The older you get and you've been doing something all those years, something you've been taught ever since you was a kid. Now it's 40, 50 years later. Here comes somebody else with something different. You don't want to hear that. I said, I've been doing this all this way all my life. This is what my mama taught me. This is what I'm going to stay with. And this have things have been said to me. I have some people said it. This man said that to me right to my face. Oh, yeah. Said that to me right in my face. And he said he follows Jesus. But when did Jesus worship? Do you know when he worshiped on? He worshiped on the Sabbath. And that same Sabbath day then, when Jesus was walking on this planet is still the same Sabbath day, which is the seventh day of the week. So I say, if you worship, I told another person, so well, since you don't follow Jesus, how come you not worship on the Sabbath like he did? Now I don't get on with that person said, because I have some of these people have said different things to me why they don't worship on the Sabbath. I said, okay, I'm not going to get in what everybody said. Only you know what you do. But I didn't argue with him. Man got mad at me. I had quite a few people get mad at me. I had some, there was a few times I said, hey, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. This person might even try to hit you. Okay? So you got to be careful, too, when you're speaking. You know, when Jesus told that 50 that went out, he said, they got a time they don't accept you, turn and brush your feet. And keep on stepping. Okay? So, as I said, God has placed me here to put some things out. He gave me some information, and I was keeping it to myself. And I found there were some things I wanted to do, my personal stuff that I like doing, my little hobbies. But God stopped a whole lot of things in me. Because he wanted me to do something. He wanted me to do something. And what I was just talking about is one of the things he wanted me to do. I'm speaking right now, and I feel better than I had gotten it out of me. I know I had some of this in writing at the website, but sometimes you got to put something out there in words, verbal. And I know a few other people might be putting some more things on the website themselves. I'm about to tell them everybody that, no, we're not going to put anything else in writing. We're going to do it verbally. Let their ears hear what your mouth got to say. You never know, you might come across somebody who can't read and write too well. Yeah, there's still people out there like that, adults. Well, if we do something verbal, they can hear. Okay? So let's keep in mind that prayer is the way to go. Learning, reading, and learning, and reading. You never stop learning and reading. Because you might read some verse one day, and you understand, you think you understand it. A year later, you say, now I see that a little differently. You got a little bit more understanding. You never stop learning. I haven't come down with Alzheimer's yet. But if I do, that's all right. That's God's way of taking me out. But until then, I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to keep running my mouth. I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep writing. I'm going to keep on doing things. And I'm hoping and praying that anybody who's hearing this might think about what I've been saying and do some praying. And pray for me, too. As I always can use some prayers. And at the website, I say a prayer. And I always start off with a prayer at the website. I know you can say, well, you didn't start off with a prayer before this. Oh, yes, I have. It was private between me and God. And when I get done, it's going to be a private one between me and God. Say thank you. I thank God for the equipment I'm using to make this broadcast. I always did that. I did that this morning. I asked God to give me words to say. Holy Spirit, guide me through this. Oh, yeah. That's my prayer in private. Even Jesus talked about that prayer in private. So I did the prayer. I didn't just turn this machine on and get it going. And I turned this equipment on, and I had problems. I had to change the location where I was going to do this at in the building here. Seemed like something was trying to keep me from getting this done today. But it got done. Yeah, I had some problem with the equipment. So, but I didn't give up. I didn't get angry. God got me through it. And I say thank you. And I'm thanking everyone here. I hope God blesses you with good health. Hope God bless you with love in your heart. And I pray that God be with you as you walk and talk. And be able to read and be happy that you can hear. And be happy you can read. You can still see to read, and God hears, you can still hear. Okay? And if you ever end up blind, ever end up deaf, deaf and blind, you can still pray to God. Yeah, you can still pray to God. And God can still teach you. I want you to remember that. Know how bad things get. I used to say, hey, I'll be in a plane crash in the middle of the Sahara Desert. I'll get up and start walking. And I'll be praying to God and say, God, thank you for me being alive. I survived that plane crash. And I'll just be walking with God. Now, I'm going to end this one here today. And I thank everybody who heard it. And I hope God's going to send you some blessings from hearing it and working on tearing down that wall. Because you got this far, you're working on that wall. God bless you. I'll talk to you again.